You know, many years ago, I don't remember how many, I called down to the bishop's office and asked whether we could have a mass once a month where we could have full charismatic expression. I did that because at the time, the community would go to mass over there and be very rigid. Then they'd come over here and they'd praise God, and they never made the connection. So I thought if we celebrated the liturgy once in a while and were able to praise and lift our hands and praise the Lord, we'd get the idea that the two are not disconnected. They said, sure, go ahead. So that's the history of this, why we have once in a while, once a month actually, a Saturday afternoon mass where we can express ourselves charismatically. And I wondered whether, thinking now so many years later as we were getting ready for this mass, if anybody would be here. You know, we're getting so good at this, we don't... But I see that you're here, so it's a good idea to keep this liturgy up where we can praise the Lord and express ourselves. And it's very important. You know, George Weigel just wrote a new book. Forgot the title of it right now. But his main point in the book... Evangelical Catholics, that's the book. It's a good book, you ought to get it. His main point, he's discovered this, dear old George. I've known him for years. I thought he already knew this. But that renewal of the church happens through friendship with Jesus. That's the core. And you can have programs and anything you want. There won't be renewal of the church unless Catholics have a friendship with Jesus. And they love him. And they obey him. And they listen to him. And they're thrilled when he talks to them. And so it's worth keeping up these masses. And if you continue to come, I can't figure out how many people are here, 45, 50? How many? 52. 62. See, he has to count because we need the hosts, you see. So there's one guy around here who knows what's going on. And so I think it's worth keeping it up. If you continue to show up, I'll continue it. If you don't, I'll... Because I got another mass tomorrow morning. I don't have to make my Sunday obligation. It's already, you know, figured out for me. And this today happens to be the third mass I've said today, you know. So, but I love to do it if we are going to enter in with everything we have and learn what this is to have a friendship with Jesus. Because as this poor world is going down the tubes faster and faster, we need to have a friendship with Jesus. Because we have to have something to offer all these people. When all that they have, you know, they're familiar with. You know, going down to the restaurant to have supper, calling up the drugstore and getting your prescriptions, getting on the train and going to work. And all, it's all obliterated. Now what? Now what? And it could well happen. See, we have to be ready to bring comfort to many, many people. You understand that? We have been comforted, instructed, delighted. Now, well, the renewal started in 1967, right? I've been involved in it since 1967, too. What for? So that when things get difficult for others, we can care for them. And that's what we have today in this Mass, okay? In this fifth Sunday in ordinary time. You know how you figure out how this goes, right? You look at the Gospel, and you know what the Gospel's all about. If you were to sum up the Gospel, what would you say the theme word is in the Gospel? Anybody remember what the Gospel was? What's that?
Put out into the deep.
Put out into the deep. Why?
Follow
Jesus. Obedience. Yeah. What's the first reading about?
Send me.
What's that?
Send me.
Send me. Right. Vocation. You see, when the church does this, yeah, they plan all these out, you know. Now we're in cycle C, this A, B, and C, right? And then the big seasons, Christmas, Easter, they have their own cycle. But we're in cycle C. And so you go by the gospel. So here we are. We're in chapter 5 of St. Luke. Because if we have three cycles, A, B, C, how would they go for the gospels? Brilliant. So what happens to John? Well, he's all of Christmas and he's all of Easter. That's enough, right? So here we are, and we're in this gospel. So then they pick a text from the in this cycle C. They pick a text that will go with the gospel. The gospel is vocation, right? This is when the first apostles were called. And now, who are they? They're really good guys. You know, they probably go to the synagogue every week, and they're good to their family, and they're working hard, but they're not ready to be apostles, right? Nobody is. I was just, there's a woman who gets these locutions from the Lord. They're remarkable, and nobody knows who she is. But somebody did an interview with her, and that's up online. And so I was listening to it, maybe last night, I forgot now. And she said, look, I was a non-practicing Catholic. I'm a businesswoman. Wherever she lives, nobody knows who she is. You know, they say Europe. I don't know if you've ever heard these. Well, but she's got a British accent. So maybe she's British, they're counting that as Europe. Or maybe she really does live in Europe. But I was a businesswoman and a non-practicing Catholic. And the Mother of God came to me and spoke to me. And I changed. And now I have these locutions, these words that I give because the Lord tells me to. Now, isn't that typical of the Lord to do that? You see? So nobody can say it's one of these high-octane, you know, highly devotional nuts, you know? This is somebody who was looking the other way. And the Lord called her. And nobody knows who she is. But she does have these words from Our Lady. Okay, so here we are now. The theme is vocation. That's now directed to us. You have a vocation. Oh, I know I'm married. I should have to take care of my kids. Oh, sure, that's your vocation. But it's more than that. As we see the darkness rolling in, the Lord has to get us ready because we're going to have thousands of people to care for, to comfort, to direct. They're going to lose everything. Imagine if the whole financial system collapses. What are they going to do? They're so used to getting on the train and going down to work and getting their paycheck and going home, and now, you know, geschlossen, there's no more. Now what? Who's going to help them find the Lord? Who's going to help them? You are. That's why the Lord has started ever since Vatican II. And at Vatican II, he was insistent through the good fathers who were there that in the document on the church, there is a whole section on the call to sanctity of the laity. And guess people were starting to think, oh, monks and nuns, they're supposed to be holy. But the rest of us, we can fiddle around a bit, you know, it's all right. Drink a little too much, see too many off-color movies, whatever. It's all right. It's not all right. You're called to sanctity. And you've got to get ready for it. So the first reading, this guy, Isaiah. Now Isaiah was probably, he's a very educated, sophisticated man who knows the cultures all around him too. He was probably in the king's court, whoever he was. His allusions to extra-biblical thinking are a lot, you know. He really, very sophisticated man. Okay. So in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a high and lofty throne with the train of his garment filling the temple. And seraphim were stationed above. And they cried out to one another, Kadosh, 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 just as we have on our tabernacle. Okay? Holy, holy, holy. All the earth is filled with his kavod, with his glory. You see? And at the sound of that, the frame of the door shook. And the house was filled with smoke. This guy's getting quite an experience, right? And so he says, woe is me, I'm doomed. I mean, man, I'm not up to this, you know? And I'm a man of unclean lips. I mean, I'm a politician, you see? And living among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, HaMelech, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me. He took an ember from the altar, and he put it and touched my lips. And he touched my mouth and said, now this has touched your lips. Your wickedness is renewed and your sin purged. You know why? You see, the way you can tell if somebody has their act together is to watch the way they speak. They can look holy, they can do what they want, but watch what comes out of their mouth. That's how you tell. You see? So now his mouth is being purified, okay? He touched my mouth. Your wickedness is removed, your sin purged. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And he said, here I am. Send me, hineni, which is this great way of saying, I'm ready. Like when God called Abram. The text says, and God put Abram to the test. The test is what? Sacrifice of Abraham, of Isaac, right? And so he says, Abram, Abram. And he says, hineni. I'm at your disposition. Whatever you want, behold me. You see? And so Isaiah is the only prophet who volunteered for the job. Moses said, oh, get Aaron. I mean, I can't speak well. Get Aaron. Don't get me. They all knew what it means if you're called to be a prophet, you know? Jeremiah said, oh, Lord, look, I'm just a boy. Don't send me. And the Lord said, don't you say I'm a boy. I'm calling you. You do what you're told. You see, never mind boy, non-boy. You see? Now, this is to prepare us to understand vocation, which is in the gospel, right? As we'll see in a moment. And so here I said, hineni, here I am, send me. There's a fellow who loves the Lord. Whatever it takes, I'm going to do it. Because you want me to. Hineni. How many people in here know your vocation? Never mind, I'm supposed to be a good Catholic and I belong to Mother of God. If you do and all the rest. No, no. Your vocation. Behold me. Whatever you want from me, Lord, I'm ready. That's important, isn't it? And so then, see, the second reading doesn't usually, is following its own track. See, the gospel is what makes the tone for the Mass. You see, so we have this call, as we're going to see. So then they find a text in the Old Testament that sheds light on this. You know, Peter, he catches all his fish, and he says, man, you don't want to hang around with me, Jesus. You know, I'm a sinner. Whoever you're looking for, it ain't me. And Jesus says, never mind, I'm going to call you. It struck me as I was, because when I thought of this woman, she's interviewed on the what do you call that, internet, you know. Somebody, but as I listen to her voice, she has this British accent. She could still be living in Europe and not England, or maybe England is Europe to them, I don't know. But anyway, I was a non-practicing Catholic, and Our Lady came to me. What are you going to do if Our Lady comes to you? You've got to pay attention. You know? And so, okay. This is now, see, when the crowd was pressing in, on Jesus and listening to the word of God. He was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret. He saw two boats alongside the lake. This is early, early in the ministry. He doesn't have disciples yet. And getting into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon. Now, Simon's a married man. He's got a wife. He's got a mother-in-law, lives with him. That's, remember, when all this is over, he goes to the house and he heals the mother-in-law, remember? Okay, at least in Mark. Okay. You put out, now it's good, if you're out, I don't know if you know this, maybe you all know this, but if you're out a little bit on a boat, the water is a great carrier of sound. It's like an amplifier. So coming out is not only so you don't get pushed into the water, it's also to have take advantage of the acoustical fact that if I'm on, in a boat 20, 30 yards out and I speak, the sound carries better. So there he is. And he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. And then he said to Simon, put out into deep water and lower your nets for a catch. And Simon says, Master, we worked all night. They always fish at night. In fact, nowadays, about, I don't know how many years ago, about 10 years ago, they found, believe it or not, one of these first century fishing boats still intact at the bottom of the Sea of Galilee. And they brought it up and dusted it off, and there it is. Same kind of boat that Peter used. Okay. Master, we've worked hard all night and caught nothing, but at your command, I will lower the net. Something happened to him when Peter, when Jesus was speaking, right? Because he's touched now. So when they thought that they caught a great number of fish and their nets were tearing, they got the other guys, that would be James and John, to come and help them out. And they filled the boats so that the boats were in danger of sinking. Now when Peter saw this, he's a smart fellow. He said, this is somebody different. You know, he tells me, lower the nets. Everybody, any other guy tell me to lower the nets, I'd lower the nets, I'd pull them up, there'd be nothing in them. He tells me, and they're so full, I need help to get them in. So what does he say? Lord, you don't want me. Depart from me, because I'm a sinner. Beautiful answer, isn't it? Beautiful. He sees now the holiness of Jesus. He doesn't know yet he's the Son of God. It's years, you know, months later, a year later maybe, when he says, who do people say the Son of Man is? And Peter says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. He finally gets it. Blessed are you because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I say, you're Peter. And on this rock, Petra, you know, I'll build my church. Your faith. Remember in Luke, at the Last Supper, Peter, I prayed for you that your faith fail not, so that you, having been strengthened, can strengthen your brethren, which is the role of the Pope. As John Paul II wrote in his encyclical on unity, my main job as Pope is to keep the church together. That's my main job. So all you people who belong to other groups now that are not part of the church, write and tell me, what do you think I ought to do to exercise this ministry? What a beautiful thing to do, right? And I remember a lot of guys, but one fella, French, Clement Olivier, he's French, but he's Orthodox. And he wrote his letter to JP2, and he starts off, Dear Holy Father. They know, you see. So he says, Lord, don't come around me. You got the wrong guy. You know, and that's the guy Jesus is looking for. Somebody says, well, I thank you very much. You know, I'll be glad to accept this honor. You know, he's the wrong guy. He said, this guy, he's the right guy. You see, keep away from me, Lord. I'm a disaster. And so, finally, Jesus said, don't be afraid. From now on, you're going to catch men. Fish is one thing. You sell them, you make a little money, you keep your family going, but I've got another vocation for you. You're going to catch men. You're going to pull them into the bark of Peter. You see? And so, they brought their boats to the shore, and they left everything and followed him. Now that's vocation. Understand? I knew when the Lord was calling me, I didn't have all of Peter's problems. Like, I depart from me, I'm a sinful man. I was too dumb to know how sinful I was. And so I just followed along. But you've got to listen to the Lord. What's your vocation? Oh, I'm a married man or a married woman and I got kids. That's only part of your vocation. You've got to preach the gospel. You've got to tell people about Jesus. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to see what's going on, right? We got the new HHS mandate, and that is only step one to forcing the Catholic Church out of public life. Why? To take it over and corrupt it so that it'll be totally docile to whatever the boss wants. As immoral, and that's why, you know, all this encouraging of immorality is to make a nice, docile people. You know, keep me in booze and sex, and I'll vote for you for the rest of my life. But there are some people he's calling, and he's saying, you know, don't do that. Follow me. And I'll tell you, if you're here this evening, you're called. You are called. Sure, you got to raise a family if you have a family. You're supposed to do that. But you are called. And you have to listen to the Lord and preach the gospel. Now, you may not have to charge out into the street there and preach, but it's not a bad idea. I used to preach like that in Rome, preach on the streets. There was a group of young people. And La Petite Madeleine. She was the founder of the Little Sisters of Jesus, you know, foundress. And she told me herself, she said, Father, when I founded this order, what I wanted was young women who were strong in the faith, who could travel with those who never have like traveling circuses and gypsies, and they don't have an abode. They don't get to Mass every Sunday. I wanted my people, my sisters, to travel with them. You know how strong you have to be in faith to do that? She said, whenever I get somebody strong enough to do that, I need him to be a superior, so I never get enough to, do this. But she does. She, Madeleine. I used to work with them a lot. I loved them. And then when these kids came into town, she said, Father, you got to work with them. They don't know anything. And so that's what I began to preach on the streets. You see? So what am I saying? You see? You have a vocation. Oh, yes, I'm married, I got kids. Yeah, that's fine. But you have another vocation. Deep, embedded in that vocation, to preach the gospel. Now, when you say that, then you think, well, you got to get out on the street and preach. Well, maybe some of you do. But with all the darkness that is coming and all the fear in this world, can't you think of ways you're supposed to tell people about Jesus? Well, they're going to laugh at me. So what? Nobody said we were going to be accepted. Nobody said our vocation was to be, you know, classical middle class, did they? We got more to do than that. And this is the vocation. So this text is the reason why we have Isaiah in the first text, to explain the radicalness of the call. And the call, you know, I always think of this. St. Francis, and he was a good apostle. That's why he got ordained deacon, so he could preach officially. And so he did. But anyway, he was up at Mount Alvernia in a hermitage, praying away, which is a good idea every once in a while to do that. He was making like a 2 month Puccinia. And Claire had a word from the Lord for him. He liked it up there. And the word was, Francis, I have not called you for yourself. Come off the mountain now and preach. Tell people. And that's, of course, how the whole Third Order of Franciscans started. He went into this town and he preached, and it was so fervent that as he left the town, the whole town followed him. He said, wait a minute, you got houses, you got kids, you can't do this. And so that's when the Third Order was founded. Find a way to be a Third Order Franciscan. but preach the gospel. So as we go on with this liturgy, you're called. You just heard it. Let's see if this can be, in this fifth Sunday in ordinary time, a turning point in your life. Can you see what's coming down the pike? You can, can't you? I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to see it. First place, the corruption. With abortion being what it is, the whole fiber of this society has been corrupted. Not just murdering infants, but lying.